morning, church. Let's smile at the person next to you. Say good morning. Say something nice to them. You know, for me, it's amazing that we're already in the last Sunday. I remember the first Sunday in May when we're doing testimonies like it was last Sunday. And I just find it amazing that we've already reached the last Sunday in May. But I thank God for your life. I thank God for my life. There are people that on that first Sunday were alive, but today they're not. But we're alive, and we're alive for a purpose. And by God's grace, we'll fulfill that purpose in Jesus' name. So we're going to be continuing from where we stopped last Sunday. And I hope that some of us, if not all of us, ran with what we heard last Sunday. We talked about Pentecost and what happened after Pentecost. And I'm hoping that people... So we saw the apostles and the disciples in the book of Acts after Pentecost. And we saw that these guys, straight after Pentecost, they were filled with power, they were filled with boldness, and they went out and they started to do exploits for God. And one thing that we see that happened with them is the love that they had for one another and the love that they had for people generally. And that's where we're focusing on today. Matthew 25. No, let's start with John, please. John 13, verses 35. John 13, 35. This is Jesus talking to the disciples before he died. John 13, 35. He says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So before Jesus left, Jesus says to his disciples, this is what is going to distinguish you from everybody else. If you love one another, he says, everyone would know you're my disciple if you have love for one another. And then we see these guys, Pentecost happens, they're full of the Holy Spirit. They start to do signs and wonders, they're preaching, people are joining the church. And we see, I'm trying to think of an adjective to qualify the kind of love that they were showing. I can't think of a word that, it was just like crazy love, radical love. Acts 2, we'll read two passages that just gives us a glimpse into the kind of love they started to show. Acts 2, 42 to 47. I'm going to read that quickly. Acts 2, 42 to 47. So this is straight after Pentecost. It says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles." So they were fellowshipping, they were doing signs and wonders, but it doesn't stop there. Verse 44 says, "All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." So that verse 44 says that they were together, they had everything in common. And to help us so we don't argue over what does it mean, what does that mean? It says they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. So someone has a need and they want to meet that need. What do? They look around. What can we do? What can we do? I have a house. I'm going to sell the house so that we can meet the need of this person. That's the kind of love that they had for each other. So it wasn't like the high five in church, oh, I love you with the love of the Lord kind of love. This was love in action, the real deal. Acts 4, 32 to 35. Again, something very similar, but I like the way it talks about this love that they were showing. Acts 4, 32. It says, "All the believers were one in heart and mind. They were united. It says, no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need." They had no needy person among them. And they didn't just do a one-off, let's sort out all the needy. It said from time to time, they check, is there anybody lacking anything? Is there anyone in need? Now, for me, this is love. If I walk up to Uncle K and say, "Uncle K, I really desperately need a car," in that time, this is what they'll do. Where's the keys? It's yours. His only car. If I walk up to you and say, I desperately need a car, and you'll be looking at me like, and? I said, what are you saying, right? But them, they were selling their lands, their properties to look after each other. Why? Love. Now, this kind of love, I kind of submit to everyone, it's not a normal human kind of love. No. This love comes from the Holy Spirit. And not only does it come from the Holy Spirit, it comes from yielding to the Holy Spirit. This is not normal kind of love. You know the kind of love of, I hold your hand in church, I swing it, yes, I love you for love, love it. Yeah, that one is. But to actually do in action. And I take you back to Matthew 25. We read verses 31 to 46 when it was talking about when the king comes at the judgment, and he's separating the sheep from the goats. Anybody remember what he said that they did in that passage? Did he say you spoke in tongues? In fact, your city knew that an anointed lived in that city. No. Did he say you healed the dead? No. Did he say you prophesied? No. Did he say you went there and you did signs and wonders? No. What did he say? Anybody? Some of the things that were said. Matthew 25, 31 to 46. It was our... I was sick, you visited me. How's that spiritual? I was thirsty, you gave me water. Anything else? I was hungry, I was naked, and you clothed me. So even the sheep were the ones that were on the good side. They were confused. And they said, Lord, when were you hungry and I fed you? When were you thirsty? And he said, inasmuch as you do it to the least of one of these, my brethren, inasmuch as you do this and you do something kind, something loving to every, you have done it to me. Inasmuch as you do it to the person that you pass on the road, you don't know their story, maybe they're smelling there, but you go out of your heart and from your heart you do something loving. Jesus says, you've done it to me. Now that's awesome for the guys on the good side. And I pray that on the last day we'll all be on the sheep side in Jesus' name. But what for me, what's more scary in Matthew 25, those 31 to 46, is what he had to say to the other guys. So it's not just about, I can't say that I'm neutral. So I'm not going to give you my car keys if you ask me after church you're in dire need. I'm just going to be neutral. You can't be neutral. Because what did he say to the goats? Did he say you've been wicked, you've been sinning, you've been committing adultery, you've done abortion, you've done... No. He said, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me water. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. So we're not doing... The Bible says, to him who knows to do good but doesn't do it, what is it? Sin. So in not showing the love, in not doing the love, that's what qualified them to be on that side. And then Matthew 7, if you look at Matthew 7 from about 20 verses 21, 22, I think, in Matthew 7, you see the flip side. And in our human wisdom, honestly, if I were to say how it should be, I would have thought it's the Matthew 7 people that will qualify. Now, these are the verse where Jesus says, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. And he says, in those days, people will come and say, but we prophesied in your name. We casted out demons. And he'll say, I never knew you. Because God, the Bible tells us, is not just interested in the outward. I'll use a Nigerian slang. God is not about the effigy, right? God is about what's happening on the inside, the heart. So those guys in Matthew 25, they qualified because they saw somebody in need, and from their hearts they gave. From their hearts they went out of their way. And that's what we see happening in Acts 2 and Acts 4 after Pentecost. The very first element of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Love. So our topic is spurring one another on. And it's taken from Hebrews 10. And I want us all to read it together. If I can have it in the NIV, please. Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 25. I want us to read it together. I want us to think about what we're saying as we read it together. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. So if we read it together. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So this verse is just three verses. I think there's some really key things. First of all, he starts by saying, Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. And so that relationship of God's very key. I have to hold on to my faith. I have to stay connected to God. But it doesn't stop there. Verse 24, he says, let us consider one another. And I think to myself, what does it mean to consider one another? What does it mean for Eloho, for instance, to consider me? What does it mean for me to consider Anyofe? What that speaks to me, it talks about the fact that none of us have been called to be islands. We're called to be connected, to be in relationship. When you're considering one another, you're stirring each other up. We're praying for each other. I'm concerned. Is there a need in your life that I can meet? Is there something that I can do to help you? It's about thinking about each other, being concerned for each other. My sister is in exam season. How's she doing? I'm concerned about her. I'm thinking about her. On Thursday morning, it's not just about when I see her in church. On Thursday, I think about, okay, for instance, oh, he's had 5 or 6 exams in a week. I think about him. Maybe I send him a text. I pray for him. That's considering one another. So he says, let us consider one another. And why are we considering one another? It goes on to tell us the objective is we want to spur one another on to love as God has called us to. And we want to spur one another on to do good works. You know, if I'm an island just trying to do it myself, if somebody is there encouraging me, you know, Ecclesiastes talks about 2 are better than 1, and that a 3-fold cord cannot be easily broken. If somebody's there encouraging you when you're in the place where you're a little bit down, if there's somebody that cares, somebody who's calling you, someone who's talking to you, someone who's praying with you, then you're more likely to be spurred to continue. You're more likely to continue holding on to this faith. I pray that we'll be there for each other in Jesus' name. Something else I see in those 3 verses that I think is really profound. In 24, it says, let's consider one another in order to stir up love, like we've talked about, and good works. So my fulfilling purpose, your fulfilling purpose, we can help each other fulfill God's purpose for us. Ephesians 2:10, looking at good works. Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Some versions say we're his masterpieces, his handiwork. But the Bible says that we're created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. And this earlier verse in Hebrews is saying, let's spur each other on onto good works. So for me to fulfill the purpose, the good works that God has prepared for me to do, guess what? You can play a part in helping me be successful. And I can play a part in helping you be successful. And that's part of what we're called to be as a church. Think about the church in the epistles. Timothy, who helped Timothy? Who was mentor to him? Who was father to him? Paul was so there in his life, helping him, saying, you know, God has not given you a spirit of fear, saying the gift that is in you, stir it up, saying, look, you're an evangelist, do the work of an evangelist. He was there encouraging him. You look at Paul's life, people were there too. We have Barnabas, who went and got Paul and took him to Antioch, so they started to teach the believers together. When the believers were scared of Paul, somebody had to take him to the believers. Now, this is what we're called to do in each other's lives. We're not called to just see ourselves on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night or a Friday night. It goes deeper than that. We're called to spur each other on to love and to good works. I pray God would help us to take hold of this in Jesus' name. So every time we meet together, and I see this in verse 25 says we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We shouldn't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but we should encourage one another. So every time I come to church, every time you come to church, yes, we need to worship God, but we also need to leave encouraged, equipped for the week, equipped to go and do God's will. And that's part of what being in a family means. Some of us, we're so loaded with stuff. You're loaded with stuff. There's stuff that you can teach other people. You can mentor other people. There's stuff that you can deposit in the lives of other people, and their lives cannot but change. But we just hold it to ourselves. We're not making an attempt to share. We're not making an attempt to build these relationships. I believe that God is calling us to more. God is calling us to start to spur each other up. And I pray that we will not fail God in Jesus' name. Finally, in that verse 25, it says, so much as you see the day approaching. That's the very last verse. So it's saying all these things, there's an urgency to them. There's an urgency to holding on to your hope, an urgency to holding on to your faith, an urgency to us spurring each other up, an urgency to meeting together and encouraging each other. It says, especially as we see the day approaching. What day? Jesus' return. There are many people, the Bible says that the love of many would wax cold. If you're a burning flame, right? Say you're a log of wood, or put it in a fancier way in your mind, but let me use a log of wood. So you're a log of wood and you're burning, right? And you're all by yourself. But here there's a mighty pile, loads of log of woods, and they're burning together. Who's going to burn out first? The one by itself, by its lone self, or the one that's in a pile? The one that's by its lone self. So it says the love of many would wax cold. Now, when we're spurring each other up, when we're caring about each other, when we're looking into each other's lives, when we're talking to each other, how's your prayer life going? When we're discussing these things, when we're being very real with ourselves, we keep our fire burning. We help each other to keep that fire burning. It's part of what we've been called to do. So I pray that we'll start to do it. How do we spur one another on? We need to build meaningful relationships. You know, right now in society, maybe more than ever before, I don't know. I don't know if you notice things more as you grow older or things are really, really getting worse. I don't know which it is. But right now, there's so many people that are lonely. Right now in Christendom, I have never seen as many programs as I've seen on depression in Christendom right now. We went to one program where they were talking about depression because a lot of Christians are depressed, are seriously depressed. And sometimes people can't speak out because they think they would judge me. They'll be critical. They would say, how come you're not letting the joy of the Lord be your strength? So people get quiet. They keep quiet. They keep to themselves. And what happens? They go deeper and deeper into the hole. We went to a program talking about depression on Saturday some weeks ago. Sunday morning, I got an invite in my phone to another one. Let's talk about depression. And it's like, what's going on? But you know that if we're there for each other, we can help each other. We can encourage each other. We can keep each other from being lonely, from being depressed. Many years ago, there was a sister who gave a testimony and was talking about when she first all got to Leicester. And she was like, every Sunday she would come to church. And you know, she was one of the bubbliest sisters that I knew in church. So if you saw her in church, you would think everything was hunky-dory in her life. And she would greet everyone with a smile. But she said every Sunday she would go back to her room to go and cry. Now that shouldn't be happening. We should be looking out for each other. We should be considering each other. We should be loving each other as God has called us to be. You know, sometimes we think, oh, well, as a church, we have a counseling department. So if people have issues and all that, they'll go to the counseling department. Do you know the truth of the matter is there's some people that if there isn't that relationship, they would not speak. But if, so you might not be in the counseling department, but because you have taken time to build a meaningful relationship, it might be that at a critical point in that person's life, it's you God would use, not the counselors, because they might not have a relationship with that person. When we build relationships, that's when we start to be vulnerable and open with each other. I pray that God would help us. Meaningful relationships, they're costly. They're costly. They take time. They take commitment. They take making ourselves vulnerable and sometimes opening up our lives in ways that we wouldn't normally do. But the reason that price is worth it is that we start to fulfill scripture. We start to spur each other up to love and to good works. I'm not saying go be friends with everyone, but prayerfully, there are people that God wants you to make an impact in their lives. There are people who God wants to make an impact in your life. There are connections that God wants to use to spur you on to love, to good works, to the next level. I pray that we'll not miss out in Jesus' name. Meaningful relationships include mentoring, nurturing, relationships where iron sharpens iron. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. So meaningful relationships is we're making each other get better. We're making each other get better. We're depositing what we have. We're growing together. Meaningful relationships includes mentoring, discipleship. And I come to what Pastor shared, and it's so key. So key with our children. Discipleship and mentoring is not just everybody else, but not the people in your house. We must make sure that we're discipling our children. You know, really sad statistics that I was reading this week where research has shown that 50% of all children brought up in the church, 50% will lose their faith. 50%. Now, out of these 50%, many would have said that prayer, accepting Jesus into their hearts. But something goes wrong. I was at a program yesterday, and one of the pastors that spoke, he said that one of the greatest pains in his life, and I really pray that God is going to turn the situation in that family around for good, speedily, in Jesus' name. He's a pastor. He's doing awesome things. He has 3 children. He said because his children were following him to church, maybe had said the prayer and all that, he thought that they knew God. And these children followed him to church. Everything was okay till they went to university. Now all his children, none of them are in the faith. All 3. Discipleship. It's not enough that we're dropping them at children's church. How long do they spend in children's church? At home, we must make sure that we're discipling our children. By God's grace, our children will not be lost in Jesus' name. Meaningful relationships include praying for each other. If I were to say, look around, everyone in the hall today, I'm not going to say it, but just answer in your hearts. Look around. In the last 7 days, since last Sunday, everybody in here, have you prayed the last 7 days for at least one person in here? For many of us, the answer might be no, and I don't mean your family members. Of course, we would pray for our family members, and we'll pray all manners of prayers. So I mean someone who's not related to you by blood. Have you prayed for anyone in here? Now, that's part of spurring each other up. When you pray, and you know when you start to pray for people, that's when, and you're building relationships, that's when God starts to tell you things and reveal stuff to you that can help that person, that can help you. I pray that our love for each other will not just be when we sing and hold hands, but it will be the real deal in Jesus' name. Meaningful relationships, it could be career-wise. It might be that someone's in your career or interested in your line, and you can help them. You can help develop them. You can help them to move up to the next level. Meaningful relationships is about helping each other with our weaknesses and with our blind spots. I think this one is an interesting one, and I was thinking about what James said. James talks about confessing our sins one to another, right? It talks about helping each other with our weaknesses, with our blind spots. Here's a question. If you don't know that somebody truly, genuinely, 100%, without a doubt, loves you, are you going to open up your weaknesses and your blind spots and whatever to them? Are you? No. If you think about someone and you think this person is going to be critical and judgmental, are you going to go and say, I did this thing wrong, I'm struggling with this sin? You're not. So we have to make sure that we're approachable. You know, when somebody comes to say, I've done something wrong or I'm struggling with something, they know. You don't need to now hammer on them. They know. That's why they've come to you. Can we be loving? Can we help each other? Paul talks about helping the weaker one, but while at the same time keeping check on ourselves. Let him that think he stands take heed lest he fall. But that's part of why we're here for each other. I should be able to be vulnerable with you. You should be able to be vulnerable with me when we're building meaningful relationships. And there's something about accountability. There's something about sin and weaknesses when they're hidden. When they're hidden, what happens is they just get bigger. But sometimes people hide them not because they want to hide them, but because they don't feel there's anyone that they can approach to talk to. So somebody's struggling with pornography. They've tried everything to stop. They should be able to approach somebody in the church to say, help me, pray with me, give me some advice. We need to be there for each other. People, there have been situations where people in their relationships, they're struggling, they're sleeping with the guy. They shouldn't be. But they need to be able to talk to somebody and not just keep struggling themselves. We need to be there for each other. God would help us in Jesus' name. Meaningful relationship means we love deeply, like we've said. And it also means that we let love cover a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4:8-10. 1 Peter 4:8-10. We're not going to read it, but it talks about loving each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Now, as you start to build purposeful and meaningful relationships, and I pray that we would all take that step, are people going to hurt you? Absolutely. Are people going to step on your toes? Absolutely. But that's why the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. When you're building meaningful relationships, somebody steps on your toes, knowing you or knowing you, what are you going to do? Are you going to stop coming to church? Are you going to start avoiding that person? Are you going to say that person is a wicked and a bad person, but if it were you, you would want grace and forgiveness? Love must cover a multitude of sins. I pray that God would help us, that love would cover a multitude of sins in Jesus' name. How can we spur each other on to love and good works? We need to just love each other and love and express that love in action, not just in words, not just in words. 1 John 3:18, and I think if we're to take a verse as memory verse today, it's 1 John 3:18. It's very short. 1 John 3:18 says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth." Love is about action. Love is not about just the words. Oh, I love you, I love you. I know a dad who in Nigeria, of course, I'm sure for years he'd have been telling the wife he loves her, he loves her. When the thieves came with guns, do you know what happened? The father went under the bed and was asking the wife, "Have they gone?" So love is action. Love is the gun comes and you stand in front of your wife and say, "No, don't kill my wife." That's love. And we hear stories actually of moms that have done amazing things like that. But love is not just in words. Let us love in action. Let us love in action. So as a church, what am I calling us to? I'm calling us to love. I'm calling us to spurring each other up in love, spurring each other up in good works, building meaningful relationships. And I pray that this wouldn't be a word that we just hear and it goes out there and we do nothing with. Pray about it. Ask God to open your eyes. Who can you build meaningful relationships with? It might be somebody that just needs a call once in a while. It might be somebody that visiting them. It might be somebody that just needs a friend in this season of their life. I pray that God would help us in Jesus' name. So we're going to close and pray. But before we do that, I want to emphasize inhale. I think most of us were very guilty of not inviting people and all that. There's still time. Please, from today, let's go all out. Are we going to do it? It's part of loving people. Like we're told during announcement, people might not come to a church service, but they can come to inhale. And guess what? They can meet God at inhale. So let's go all out on Saturday. Let's be there ourselves, but let's bring others as well. And God would help us in Jesus' name. So in conclusion, Hebrews 10:24. "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that has come to us today. Father, we've heard you. Holy Spirit, we've heard you clearly. I pray that this word, that it would mix with faith in our hearts, that we will not just be hearers, but we'll go out and be doers. We thank you for the week ahead. We pray that this week we will come back again with mighty testimonies of your goodness and of how you've used us in Jesus' name. And as a church, again, we pray for inhale. We say, Holy Spirit, let it be the best so far. Let it be an awesome one to your glory. For in Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. And let's share the grace and fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen.